It is 5 to 6:30. Thank you. On Sunday the 26th, write that in big letters on the top of your page that says, when I get home, I'm going to put this on my calendar, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to smile. I love Trunk or Treat. I love it. I love it because we have the gospel walk, and every child who comes hears the gospel. And the gospel walk is so cute. They go over a bridge, they hear the whole gospel. That's the goal of our Trunk or Treat, is to share the gospel in our community. And just to love on people. And to say, do you have a church home? We'd like to invite you to come to our church. Erin?
Sorry to interrupt, but Angie Dickerson had posted something on Facebook that she wanted everybody to pray for. I forgot what it was.
Though. Okay, well, we'll pray for Angie. And we'll pray for everybody, because you know what? We all need prayer, amen? Amen. Well, welcome back to our study in John 15. So get your handout out, and we're about to jump in. But let's open with a word of prayer before we start. I'm so glad you're here this morning. This is a great group, and what a beautiful day, right? Our Father, we bless your name together this morning. We just pause and we take a deep breath. We're busy women, and there's a lot going on in our lives. It's such a blessing to be busy, to be active. We thank you for that privilege, Father. We thank you for the joy of being together in Sunday school and opening up your word freely and hearing from you. Oh, Father, that's our greatest need, to hear your word. There's such blessing in knowing your word and obeying your word. And we want to be women who know and obey your word. And so we prove that we are disciples, and you bless us because of that. There's so much in John 15 that we've been seeing. Help us to retain what we're learning and help it to minister to our hearts, to be life to us. And so, Father, speak again as we always ask you to through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back. This is our fifth week in just the first 11 verses of John chapter 15. I love Sunday school because I don't have to hurry. On Thursday mornings, I have to keep up with the workbook, and I have to do so much, whether I get to say everything I want to say or not. But the beautiful thing about Sunday school is we can just go as slow as we want. Now, one of my favorite things about the words that we're looking at, these verses, chapters 1, verses 1 through 11, is that these are actually the very words of Jesus. In fact, they are some of his last words to his disciples before he goes to the cross. Because we're at Thursday night when we get to John 15. In fact, John 13, all the way through John 17, are all things that Jesus said, things that happened on the Thursday night before he was crucified on Friday. I don't know if you've ever been with someone as they were dying and you heard their last words. Those last words are important words, aren't they? And the words we're studying are important words. We are indebted to John for writing down and recording so much of what Jesus said on that Thursday night. He gives us these five long chapters, beautiful words of Jesus that are given to his 11 faithful disciples. Now, when we come to chapter 15, Jesus and his disciples have completed the Passover meal. During that meal, early on in that meal, Judas was exposed as the one who would betray Jesus. And it says this about him in chapter 13, that Judas went out into the night immediately. That's such a picture. He went out into the darkness. He left. He did not abide. And then Jesus was left with just his 11 faithful disciples. They remained. They did not leave. They were abiding. Now that's the background to the teaching that Jesus is giving to his disciples in John chapter 15. Let's begin this morning by just reading these 11 verses together. I hope they've become familiar to you since this is our fifth lesson. Let's read them together. Jesus is speaking. He says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Now, I have put three questions on your handout there. These verses answer those three questions. And I want you to take time around your table. As we begin this morning, I want you to get the juices of your brain working. I want you to think of everything we've talked about in our previous four lessons. And then I want you to answer those questions to each other around your table. But I want you to answer out of the scripture. I want you to look at John 15 and see if you can pull the answers out of the word there. So take about 3 minutes and go.
Probably nothing. said, you abide in me and my words abide in you. The Holy Spirit is leading us in everything that we do.
All right. I think the first two questions kind of go together. How do you distinguish true Christians from false Christians? And what are the marks of a true Christian? How do you distinguish the two? You see, there wasn't anything outwardly much about Judas and the other 11, right? How do you distinguish? What are you looking for in their life? You're looking for fruit. Thank you. Thank you. And what are some of the fruits that we talked about? Do you just call them out?
Love.
All right, love.
Joy.
That's the attitude fruit. What else did we see in our lesson?
Joy.
Uh-huh, joy. That's an attitude fruit.
Peace.
Peace, that's an attitude fruit. What? Salvation, genuine salvation. Self-control, that's another attitude. Okay, the last one. How are you to explain and understand our actual relationship to God through Christ? Now, this is when I wonder what you said. We're going to the scripture here. What did you say? Everybody's afraid to say it.
That the Holy Spirit is in us.
All right, good. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. That is the thing that makes us a Christian. It's the fact that God is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Christ is in us. They've come and they've made their home in our very bodies. That is the distinctive mark of being a Christian. It's not that I go to church. It's not that I was baptized. It's not that I pray the prayer. It's not that I do good things. Even though those go with, those are fruits. But if you want to take it to the bottom line is Christ is in me. Okay? All right, good. Here in John 15, Jesus gives that definitive statement about a Judas branch. How do you distinguish? And he does it with this analogy of a vine and the branches. Now, who is the vine dresser? God. Who is the vine, the true vine? Jesus. And the Father, God, the vine dresser, he's the one that is caring for the branches that are attached to the vine. And there are two kinds of branches. Do you remember one bears fruit and one is fruitless, like Judas? The bearing fruit was like the 11 disciples. So in verse 4, Jesus looks right at his disciples and he makes this command to them, abide in me. That word means stay. This is all review. It means don't walk away. Don't do what Judas did. Don't leave me. Remain. This command really dominates the rest of the verses. We see that word abide 10 times in verses 4 through 11. And in these verses, Jesus now, 4 through 11, that's where we are. The analogy comes in 1 through 3, and then he's going to make all of these incredible promises to the one who abides. Are you interested in the promises of God that are yours? Well, that's what we're seeing here. And they're so rich. They are blessings for abiding. All right, the first one we've already looked at. Write it down. It was eternal life, or you could write eternal salvation. That thought comes from what Jesus says after the command, abide in me. And then he says this on the flip side, I will abide in you. That's how you define what it means to be a Christian. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. He says it again in verse 5. Look at with me. He who abides in me and I in him. Look on your handout at 1 John 5:12. Did I put that on your handout?
Yes.
He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God does not have life. You see, it's all about who's in you. If he's in you, you have life. He is life, right? So the bottom line of Christianity is, are you in Christ, and is Christ in you? You are a new creation because he's moved in. You've become what the Bible says. The Bible says it this way. You are a partaker of the divine nature of God. You possess the very life of God in you. You will never die. You will only go into eternal blessing. I'm just touching on the ones we've already studied. Here's the number two blessing is fruitfulness. Put that down. We spent two lessons looking at the fruit that will be in a believer's life. So you know what you have to be? You have to be a fruit inspector. So growing up, naturally, my children were raised coming to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. Church was part of our life. It was natural for them early on when they asked spiritual questions about the gospel to immediately say, I want to be a Christian. I want to get baptized, especially when the communion plate went around. They wanted to drink that grape juice. And they knew they could not do it until they had been baptized. And they would beg me, please let me be baptized. Well, you know what was behind that? I remember this as a funny story. Jason Michael was just a little guy. That's Sunday's oldest. And then there were David and there were John. They were all sitting together in church. And JM had already been baptized. He was getting to partake of the Lord's Supper. And all the little cousins were sitting around him. Here comes the plate. He took it and he took the bread. And then when he went to drink it and eat it, he looked at David and he said, delicious. That's one of our favorite family stories. You know, I don't know why I got off on that. I am chasing rabbits this morning. But how did that go with fruitfulness? I don't know. Let's go back to fruit. All right, you ready? Let's look at the fruit. Oh, I remember. You want to be a fruit inspector. That's what I was saying. I'm old, you know, sometimes I lose my train of thought. But, you know, as a mother, I didn't want to discourage them early on from receiving Christ because it was a childlike faith, even though I knew they really didn't understand much about sin and how sinful they were. And so, you know, they all were baptized fairly young, but I'm always looking for the fruit in their life. And I'm always saying, you know, this is the fruit. And so you've got, that's how you know. I don't know they're Christians because they were baptized and prayed a prayer. I know they're Christians because I've seen them walk out their Christian life. And I've seen fruit in their life. That's what I'm looking for. So what are some of the fruits? Well, we said the first fruit this is the foundational fruit. It's repentance. Repentance. Repentance is where you see you are completely helpless, hopeless, ungodly. You, apart from Christ, you're just done for. You're headed to destruction. But it's not only a foundational fruit at salvation, but it's also a way of life for Christians, because we're always messing up. And so there's this continual repentance in my life when I mess up, when I say the wrong thing, when I catch myself thinking wrongly, when I do the wrong thing. I'm just constantly confessing it, and he's faithful. His blood is cleansing me continually from my sin. And then we said there are attitude fruit, which is what most everybody was shouting out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Then there are number three, here's another fruit. It's a life that gives expressions of love in meeting needs. You just have an overflow of love in your life, and you're helping. You're ministering. You're doing what needs to be done. You know what you're doing? You're signing up for the trunk or treat. Ouch. Here's number four, praise and worship. That's a fruit. You just have it bubbling up. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Have you ever heard that little song? It just comes out. Praise and worship to your God. And then number five, words that build others up. Your speech edifies. That's what edifies means. You say things that build people up. Just go to Walmart. You'll hear parents talking to their children in the worst way. I want to go over to them and spank them. Don't talk to your child that way. Build your children up. Build your mate up. And then number six, righteous deeds. Your life will just be a whole string of good works. And number seven, bringing others to God. You'll be an evangelistic machine, just like Paul. And so now that brings us up in our review. And I'm so tempted to teach it all over again because I love what we've seen. But this morning, we're coming to our third promise that Jesus makes to the one who abides in him. This is the third blessing. It's going to take me a while to get through it. It is so rich. And here's what it is. It's answered prayer. It's answered prayer. Now, go to verse 7 with me to see it. If you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Underline that. Whatever you wish. And it will be done for you. Why aren't we doing cartwheels in here, ladies? It's because I'm 72, but if I was on the trampoline, I could do one. Now, I'm just going to stop and say, this is an astounding promise. Did you hear what it said? You can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Wow. Now, there are two requirements in that verse. Two qualifiers, two things that must be true. If those two things are true, I can ask whatever I wish. And Jesus makes a promise to me that I'll have whatever I ask. So here's the first qualifier, the first requirement. Number one, if you abide in me. So write that down. Let's get this straight, girls, because this promise is one we need to have on the front burner. Amen. What is it saying, if you abide in me? Well, here's what it's saying. If you are a true branch, if you are a fruitful branch, if you are a genuine believer. Now, let's flip that. If you're not a true branch, if you're not in Christ, then you're on your own, girls. You are. You have no promises. You have no assurances of answered prayer. You can make no claims on Christ. Christ has no obligation to you because God never promises to answer the prayer of a non-believer or a false believer. He's under no obligation to do it except one prayer, and that's the prayer of repentance and faith in Christ. Now, in his graciousness, he may be good to unbelievers. He's very good to unbelievers. His sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. His rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. But I'm just saying, he's under no obligation whatsoever to answer the prayers of those who are not his. But the prayer of the one who is righteous, who is saved, has every right to expect God to answer his prayers. Ladies, I just believe when I pray, I'm going to get answers. I have every right to say that. Well, Teresa, that's a little bold of you to say that. No, it's not. Because you know why I'm thinking biblically here? I'm learning to think what the Word of God says. And what does the Word of God say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. And sometimes when I'm praying, I just say to God, now God, you're the one that gave me permission to do this. And I'm here and I'm asking. But it's not so for those who are not born again. Now listen, there are two kingdoms in this world, only two, and everyone who's born lies in one of these two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. There's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's dear Son, and there's the kingdom of Satan, the dominion of Satan. And either your father is God or your father is the devil. Now, I'm getting every bit of this out from Ephesians 2, if you want to check me out. And those who live in the kingdom of darkness are under the power of the evil one, the devil. But if at some point you came to God through faith in the saving work of Christ, who came to rescue us out of that dark kingdom, forgiving our sins and moving us from death into light. Wow. That means Christ came to live in you, and you are now a child of the light. You're no longer a branch that has no fruit. Life has come to you. And when that happened, when you moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, everything about you and your situation changed. I'm telling you, ladies, it was a miracle. Has this happened to you? Now, when you're looking back, I have to look at myself. You know, it's very, very scriptural to examine yourself and make sure you're in the faith. And as I'm looking back, do I see, God, there was a time where I changed. I came into the light. Everything was new. I was a brand new creation. Well, one of the benefits that comes to the one who abides in Christ is, listen to me, ask whatever you wish. And Jesus says, I will do it for you. When I say that, I just get giddy. I really do. It sounds as if God is just some genie up there in the sky who's going to jump out of the bottle when I rub it. He's going to give me whatever I want. Is that what I'm saying? But wait a minute. Yes, it says I can ask whatever I wish, but there's a second condition. There's a second qualifier. The first one is you have to abide in Christ, but here comes the second qualifier, a second condition that has to be met before I can claim this amazing promise. Go back to the verse and notice what it says. If you abide in me, that's number one, and then it says this, and my words abide in you. So write it down. That's number two. Qualifier. You see, being a believer that abides means I do have access to God through Christ. I have the promise that my prayers will be answered. But there's something I need to know, and that is this. When I pray, I must pray within the framework of God's will. I must pray within the framework of His Word, His Holy Word. Now think with me, let's talk about this, let's reason together. The Bible tells us a lot of things about God, who He is. The Bible tells us a lot about what His desires are. Can you imagine if Jesus had not put this second condition in this verse, that we would just turn Jesus into a magic genie who popped out of his little bottle and gave us everything we could wish for, and that would be a path to self-destruction. Let's go to James. Let's let James put something about prayer in our hearts. He tells us this in James 4:3. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You see, if you are a true, genuine, born-again believer, then you meet condition number one, but condition number two is that you pray within the framework of the words that have been revealed from God to us in His Word. The Scripture tells us who all about God, about His will, His way, His kingdom, His purpose. Now, in Matthew 6, let's talk about it. That's the Sermon on the Mount. It's where we see the Lord's Prayer. And there are all of the disciples with Jesus, and they say to Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so look on your handout at verse 9. He said to them, okay, I will teach you. Pray. When you pray, pray then in this way. Now, let's see how we're to pray. You know this. We could recite it together. Put it aside, your little recitation, and look at the words. When you pray, Oasis Sunday School class, this is how you should pray. You should start with this phrase, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Where is God? Where is God? Where?
In our hearts.
Look at the verse. Where is God? God's in heaven. Where is Jesus? He's in heaven. Where? At Jesus' right hand. And now get this in your mind when you pray. All right, my prayers are ascending to heaven. That's a long way away. And there is God in all of His glory. Just go to Revelation 3 and 4 and you'll see Him there on His throne in heaven. And seated next to Him is Jesus. And then there's the Holy Spirit. Where is He? He's in me. He's here. He's on earth. He's on earth moving among His church. Now think biblically with me. I'm going to go into heaven in my prayer. I'm going to hallow His name. That means I'm going to make it holy, separate. I'm going to be in awe. I'm going to marvel. So as you go into prayer, this is how you go into prayer. Don't just run in and sit down and start spouting off everything you want. All your things, your needs, your people, your this, your that. Give me that, give me this. And meet that need. No, you go in and you sit there. And you marvel at the glory of God. And you see His Son seated there. You see Jesus, He gave you entrance into the throne room. He blazed the trail for us to come in. And so when you pray, He says, don't rush in, hallow God's name. And then He gives them another phrase, pray this way, your kingdom come. But wait a minute, I like to talk about my kingdom. Because I have a kingdom down here and it's full of my people and my agenda. Don't come with that. You come with His agenda. God, what is your kingdom? What is it you're wanting to do in the world through me, through our church? And then I pray this way, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love to pray this way for you. For my children, for me, for my husband. God, I'm praying that your kingdom would come in the life of my children, in the life of my Sunday school class, in the life of my church. I'm praying that your will be done in their lives. Right now, JM's deciding where to go to school. God, I don't know. God, I pray your will. For him. You know where you want him. Would you lead him? Your kingdom, your will. It's about you, God. It's just not about me. So before you ever get to the rest of this prayer, because you are going to pray about yourself, aren't you? You're going to say, now give us this day our daily bread. That means, God, just meet our needs. Meet our needs, because there's a government shutdown right now. My husband works for the government. And right now, we don't have a paycheck. And that's scary. God, you are on your throne, meet my needs. But I'm not going to get to the meet my needs until I hallow. And I talk about his kingdom. And I talk about his will, you see. And then I move to my needs. So prayer is to be this way. I want to magnify his magnificent person. When I get to meditating on that, and I let God's word help me do that, then I move to praying about other things. I must have the words of Scripture, because those words tell me who God is. Those words tell me what his kingdom is about. And those words clearly reveal his will for me. I must have those words abiding in my heart so that they control my thinking and my praying. That's why I love to pray Scripture. I love how Colossians puts it in 3:16. Look at your handout. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's what he's talking about. Now let me take you back to a verse that Jesus gave his disciples earlier on this very same thought in the previous chapter. Chapter 14, verse 13. Let's look at it. It's another just astounding promise. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Wait a minute. Did you hear that? Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Ladies, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why are you going to do that, Jesus? He says, well, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything, let me just tell it to you again. In my name, I will do it. Now, what do you make of that promise? Is that saying that if I will just tack at the end of my prayer, in Jesus' name, then I'll get what I want? I want you to spend about 1 minute. Talk around your table. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? See what you come up with. We're going to come back and talk about it. Just real quick. We are never going to get through this lesson. Question to answer, isn't it? It's hard. Like, okay, I kind of know what it means and I feel it in my heart, but how do I speak it? Right? Well, let's just see. What is his name? Let's look at it. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take each one of those names. The first one, Lord. He's Lord. What does that mean? It means he is my sovereign. He is my sovereign. He's sovereign over everything. He's the Lord. And so I'm going to have to pray in consistent with his lordship. He's Lord, I'm not. He has the right to do whatever he wants. All right? Let's look at his next name. The Lord, and then comes the name Jesus. Jesus, that means anything consistent with his saving purpose. That's his name for Savior. He's the saving Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means I'm praying for anything consistent with his rule over his glorious kingdom. Go back to John 16. Look on your handout at John 16, 23. This is the very same night. Listen to what he says. In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. You see, this phrase, in my name, we see it repeated over and over. It's an incredible promise to us that whatever we ask, look, consistent with his person, his purpose, and his plan, he will do it. This is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It's like praying this way. Father, I'm asking this request. Because this might be what you desire for your glory. This could be what you desire for your kingdom. This could be what you desire to exalt your Son. This could be what you desire to show the power of your Holy Spirit. That's the idea behind praying in his name. Now, once again, I'm praying to my Father, God. I'm praying to him because Jesus has given me access, and then I have the Spirit in me. And the Lord Jesus is my advocate. He's taking my prayers. That word advocate means like a lawyer. He's making my prayers. He's adding to my prayers to the Father, and the Spirit is also giving groanings too deep. He's praying in me. He's making my prayers too. The whole Trinity is involved in our praying. That's the idea. This is what James calls the prayer of a righteous person. Look at James 5:16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Your praying can accomplish much. All right, it's 10:29, so just put a little line there. We'll come back to it next week. Now, you know what this means. This means you have to come back next week. I didn't even get through prayer. But, oh my goodness, I can't just rush over this. I can't just say, okay, ask whatever you wish. Just ask in Jesus' name. I have to make it rich to you. I have to make it rich to my own heart. Because you know what? Look at me. A lot is unlocked in our lives through our pray. Amen? Your prayers are powerful in your world. My prayers are powerful in my world. I get so excited when I see answered prayer. I had a granddaughter this week. I was talking to her. And she broke up with her boyfriend. She's been going with him for 2 years, and I really thought, you know, they might get married. She's a junior in college now. And Sunday gave me the heads up. She said, Sarah Sunday, I think Sarah Sunday and Matthew are going to break up. And I said, oh my goodness, this is huge. But you know what? I'll tell you this. She said she could sense they were getting serious. And she told me, she said, Mimi, I just started praying that if he wasn't who God wanted for me, that he would show me. And then last weekend, she went to a wedding with him in Oxford. He's from Oxford. And she said that something happened. She said it was only God. She saw something, and she said, God, it was just a God thing. And she said, I knew that was God telling me he's not the one. She didn't tell me what it was. I was real curious. I wanted to say, what was it? You know, I'm like, give me the scoop. Because we like the scoop, don't we? But she just said, you know, and she was sad about it. And she said, but you know, I have the most peace because I asked God to show me, and he did. And she said, and we're done. And I said, I am so proud of you. But see, she's praying. She's asking God, answer prayer. Answer prayer. All right, what are the conditions? If you abide in me, and say it with me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Ladies, that's one we need to memorize, right? Don't let it just roll over your head. Now, you know, let me just say this. It means you've got to put God's word here. Get in Matthew 6. Look at the Lord's Prayer. Start modeling your prayer after the Lord's Prayer. Pray that way. Pray that way. Learn to hollow God. Learn, get in His Word. Find out who He is. Learn about Him. Find out about His will, His purpose, His kingdom. And start putting your prayers into effect. We've got to get mature. We've got to grow up in our faith and be strong women of God. Okay, we'll finish this next week. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this amazing promise that you've given us this morning. I pray you'd burn it on our hearts. God, help us to believe it. And Lord, maybe someone here this morning, they're thinking, you know, I'm not sure that I'm abiding in you. I may not be a genuine branch. Well, if that's you, just call me. Let's talk about it. Let's make it right. That's the Holy Spirit. He's talking to your heart. He's calling you to Himself that you might be a real branch, that you might be born again and bear fruit. Not about being churched, not about being baptized. It's about Christ in you, abiding in you and you in Him. And I thank you for this time together. Oh, how we love your word. Thank you for the privilege of studying it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. I kept you 4 minutes late. I'm sorry.